Hi, everybody. My name is Mike Buzzboom. I live in Vienna, Austria. One point in time, I mentioned to Larry that I would like to do a description of the Viennese public transportation system. I grew up in the United States, but I've lived here in Austria for the past 28 years, and although I do get to the States regularly, this is home. And I'm with a very dear friend of mine. His name is Peter Rand. He's sighted, and he may be known by some of you because he is on the Bookport list. He's a very enthusiastic Bookport user, one of the few sighted people I know, or the only sighted person I know, that actually bought some technology that was designed specifically with the blind in mind.
And learned Braille.
And learned Braille. Peter's learned Braille so he can take notes on the Bookport. I'm a Book Courier user, but I'm getting pretty excited about the Bookport, and maybe have my next upgrade will be to the Bookport. Peter and I have lived in Vienna, like I said, for many years, and we thought that the reason I want Peter along is because I think he could give us all some descriptions of some of the things that we see. Vienna is an incredibly accessible city in terms of public transportation. I live toward more or less toward the center of town, but what I thought we would do is we'd take two subways, and then go for a walk and maybe have some coffee in the center of town so you can get some sounds from the city, from the pedestrian zone, street musicians and all that stuff, and then take a streetcar back home to my house. That way we can experience two different modes of transportation in the city.
Three.
Wait, for walking?
Foot, metro, and...
Yeah, foot, metro, and tram. There are buses and trains also, but we won't be taking those today. And one of the things that appealed to me when I came to Austria as a sophomore in college was the fact that it was so easy for a blind person to get around. And that hasn't changed. So I hope you enjoy the tour. Right now we're walking to in case any of you are familiar with Vienna, we're walking toward the U2 metro line. We're going to take the metro line one stop to the U3, and then we're going to transfer there and go to one of the main stations in the center of town called Stephansplatz. Stephansplatz, named after St. Stephen's Cathedral, which is right there. And then we'll walk down the Kärntner Straße, which is Vienna's main pedestrian zone, go to the opera. And at the opera, the Vienna Opera, we will jump in the J streetcar line and go back home. And I'm using the iRiver. I always get that mixed up. The iRiver IFP 899. I'm using no-name stereo microphones. And I've got one attached to one to my left shirt collar and the other to my right shirt collar. I don't have binaural headphones, the type that you're all accustomed to on Larry's podcast that he takes us to and from work, but I really am going to try to acquire a pair of those binaural headphones because they're just phenomenal. The spatial separation, you know, that you get from them is really good. A very, very nice sunny day in Vienna. It's warm for this part of the world. It's warm, probably about, 80 degrees Fahrenheit, something like that. Don't think it's any warmer than that, is it?
No.
One of the things that we won't be checking up today, but that is available in Vienna at a lot of streetcar or a lot of stops, main thoroughfares, are the acoustic traffic lights. These acoustic traffic lights also, you press it, they tick. Sorry about the wind. I can't do much about it. But you can locate them because you can hear them tick, and then you can press a button if you want to activate them. Now, when you press the button to activate these traffic lights, they don't change the traffic patterns at all. They just start beeping at a different or ticking at a different frequency when you want to cross. And they also, if you put your hand on them, you can feel an arrow on them that points you in the direction that you need to walk. And when the light is green, this arrow also vibrates. So it's a double way of, you can both hear it and then feel the vibrations. So we're coming up right now to our metro stop. We started recording just right outside my front door, so You can see that it's not that far away. We're walking over now to the...
Now we're leaving street level.
We're leaving street level. We're going down to the lower level to get to the metro. And one of the things that low vision people lobbied for in Vienna was that whenever there was a landing at stairs, that there was a yellow line or an orange line so that people with low vision could see when they were coming to the end of the stairs. I don't know if those lines,
they're
everywhere. Another thing that they have in Vienna at every subway stop is tactile markings on the floor that you can very comfortably follow with your cane so that you know when to turn, whenever there's a turnoff. And now we're downstairs waiting for the U2 to come, and I guess there's a lot of visual information down here that I can't see, so...
Just a lot of advertising. Billboards, advertising, operas, jeans, puppet shows.
Like, are these electric advertisements or advertisements, or are they, like, just billboards, or...
Lighted billboards.
Lighted billboards. What kind of electric, electronic information is there down here so that people, that pertains to the public transportation itself?
Just the name of the metro line, how many minutes until the train arrives, and the current time.
Okay. And so how many minutes is it until our train arrives?
1 minute.
Okay. In some cities that I've been to in Germany, every 1 minute they'll say the train heading this or that direction will be arriving on platform such and such in 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And I like that. In Vienna, we don't have access to that information, but it is there. And so it's a great way to start a conversation if you just want to talk to somebody on the streetcar platform, because you can say, can you tell me when the next subway is arriving? And oftentimes I genuinely want to know, because if it's in a lot of instances, there are streetcar lines that are close to the metro lines. And so if it says it's not going to be here for 10 minutes, you can parallel it or jump on the streetcar, And we'll just take it one stop to the U3. No, I'll just stand up for the one stop, I think. That pole, hang on to it. It's very hard to hear the announcements. But this isn't too bad. It's just a short stop here. Peter, let's, if they have it here, I've never done it here, let's take the elevator down, because some of the metro stations have, when you're inside, they tell you what level you're on.
And I don't...
That's the guy just announcing that the train's getting ready to depart. I don't know if they have that here. You can take the escalator down, but there are also elevators. I just wonder if it'll talk. It tells, what level we're at, as do many of them, especially like at the main train stations, which is really helpful when you have multiple levels. It's nice to be told. And I just wonder if this has it. Okay, but if it talks. I've never taken the elevator here. I always take the escalators. They're faster. One of the things about Vienna that is pretty common in most cities is there are hardly any streets at all where you have regular curbs. They're all they're all sort of slanted so that people riding bicycles or pushing strollers or wearing rollerblades can negotiate them easily.
Here, feel this, the button that you three.
Oh, the button is in Braille. That's good. Oh, yeah. It's in Braille, and it's also got raised letters, so that if you don't know Braille, but you don't have any vision, you can still tell where it is. So it's very well marked.
That's just the keep door open button.
Uh-huh, and that one isn't marked in Braille.
Uh-huh.
And I... Now, this one didn't speak. So, but then you've only got three floors you can go to. I guess you could have gone up one more level too, couldn't have you? To the upper level. No? Just the two levels, okay. If you're blind in Vienna and you are a resident here, public transportation is free. And if you are with a sighted person, as long as they're with you, they go for free too.
But I have an annual pass.
Yeah, they sell annual passes. What does an annual pass cost here, Peter? What, 400 euros a year? Something like that?
47 euros a month, and you pay 10 times a year.
Oh, okay. And that, what does that come to in dollars? What, $55 a month? Something like that?
A little over $500 a year.
Okay.
For unlimited travel within the city.
And do you ever take advantage of any of the special offers they have? Regina and I take advantage of... Regina has a monthly pass, and if you have the yearly pass, the streetcar pass, you get on weekends you get discounts on car rentals. Do you guys ever take advantage of those?
No, we have our own car.
So
they have movie screens on either side of the metro showing news photos and TV clips.
Oh, like just the actual the current news, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Wonder if they have anything on Katrina there right now. And movie clips, like of just the latest and greatest movie?
Lebanon. Arrests have been made in connection with the murder of ex-minister Harari.
And these are in German. You're just translating
I'm just translating the German.
Into English on the fly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're showing news clips now from the TV.
Okay.
With the subtitles.
Oh, okay. That's the...
Where do you want to go?
I want to go just one stop to Stephansplatz. Then we'll get out. And we'll buy ourselves something to drink along the Kärntnerstrasse as we walk through, and then I'll describe more of what happens in terms of, you know, the needs of the disabled community in terms of public transportation here in Vienna. Let the people hear a little bit of the city, and then I'll we'll take the J back home. We spend a lot of time together, Peter and I. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this. And if anybody wants to ask me any more questions, my email address... Wait for that street, that subway to leave. My email address, if you have any questions or just want to get in touch with me, is Mike, M-I-K-E, at... Buzzboom, that's my surname, that's spelled Bravo Uniform Sierra, Bravo Oscar Mike, .at, Alpha Tango. And my Skype name is M-B-U-S-B-O-O-M, M-Buzzboom. Here comes our U3, which will take us into the center of the city. Two stops? Oh, the first one is Herngasse, right. Okay, two stops. All right.
In this metro line, there are also many TV monitors showing news and fashion.
Inside the metro itself?
Little TV screens mounted in the ceiling.
Wow, okay. I didn't realize that. So it's almost like...
Bahnhofsgasse umsteigen zu Route 2A.
Showing the floor of the New York Stock Exchange after the Hurricane Katrina and how it's affected oil prices.
Oh, really? Well, it's, what is it? Almost 5 o'clock here now, isn't it? So, it's what, 11 o'clock in New York? So, in the middle of the day of trading. I bet you it's adversely affected oil prices too, hasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, so they just go, they flip by real quickly, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now the TV monitors are just showing some coming events in Vienna. Performances, plays, things like that.
Any famous people appearing in concert? Like,
I don't know.
Like, Doc Watson or Taj Mahal or anybody like that? Any Americans?
Now they're showing sport news. Tennis, Svetlana Kuznetsova. How is the weather forecast?
That's very... It's amazing how quickly they just go by. I would think that some people... It seems to me that some people would struggle with information overload with all this stuff coming all the time.
I'm the only one watching the screen.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're here at Stephansplatz now, which is the center of the city.
Escalator, steps, or elevator?
Let's take the escalator this time. I'm sure there are no... If the last one didn't talk... I think the only ones that talk are at the Westbahnhof, at the West train station, and at the Südbahnhof, the South train station. And at the Institute of the Blind, but it would seem...
So we're now below St. Stephen's Cathedral.
When they were building this, they had to do some work. They had some... They discovered some catacombs and stuff down here, too. When they were building the U3, some other artifacts from way back when. The city's pretty old. Here's some trivia for you. Why does St. Stephen's Cathedral have a special meaning in my life?
Are you asking me? Or?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
You're Catholic?
No, I'm not Roman Catholic. It has a special significance because on February 27th, 1990, I proposed to Regina in front of St. Stephen's Cathedral, and she said yes. And I always remember that's where I proposed to her, right in front of St. Stephen's Cathedral. She wasn't expecting it. So... We always think about that when we walk past there. We're still in the underground area. Are there shops down here, Peter? There are at the opera one. No? Because they're at the opera. So,
this is now
Kärntnerstrasse. Okay.
There's a young girl playing clarinet in front of us.
With a...
She's got a tape player accompanying her.
Oh, yeah. How old would you say she is?
How old?
Yeah.
I keep 22 maybe.
Oh, okay.
I can't tell.
Very good. She's probably thinking, if they said, if I'm that good, why did they leave us any money? Me any money?
Seems to be that good.
Yeah. I've always, through the years, never become disenchanted with a walk through the Kärntnerstraße. I love this. I love this place. I also bought my wedding ring for Regina's engagement ring here at a store that should be really close by. Wonder if it's still there. And of course, ubiquitous sounds of construction, which makes travel sometimes, if you're blind, difficult in some areas. Like in any city, you can't always properly assess the traffic flows, you know, the traffic patterns. So
this is a pedestrian area.
But yeah.
And there are cafes everywhere, so you might hear the clinking of plates.
Oh, the clinking of plates and everything. So find one that looks nice, and I'll be the last of the big-time spenders and treat you to a soda water, since you don't drink coffee in the afternoon. I love the coffee houses. Sometime I'd like to do a soundscape tour of the coffee houses here. Each one is different. A Starbucks. This is Vienna. Let's go to a Viennese coffee house.
Here's a clarinet player and a violin player. With background music playing behind them.
And a fountain here. Is this any special fountain? Any artistic value to this fountain?
It's an artistic rock.
An artistic?
Black rock. It's a big black rock with water coming out of it.
Oh, okay. Who was it donated to the city by?
Kreditanstalt Bank dedicated to the inhabitants of Vienna in 1991.
Okay.
And it was created by artist Hans Moore.
Must be a famous Viennese artist, huh?
Yes.
All right. Just a rock, huh? I wonder if can a person touch that thing, or is it
sure.
Oh, check this out. Wow. It's a very smooth, it's a really interesting shape. It's like an obelisk. Oh, it's
three.
Okay, three sort of, there's a shape for this, the geometric shape. Very smooth rock, and you can feel the water coming out, and there are three, what's this shape called? You don't know what it's called either, right? Okay, but I know.
Smooth rock.
Very smooth, yeah. It's about, the tallest one's about, 5 feet tall, the tallest one?
Taller.
Oh, taller?
Taller than either of us.
Okay. What?
It's taller than either of us.
Oh, really? So about 6 feet, at least 5'10", because I'm 5'10". That clicking noise is some construction. Yeah. So we're walking in a, westerly direction toward the opera now?
We're heading direct south.
South? I thought the opera was west.
Kärntnerstraße is north-south.
North-south?
Yeah.
Okay. Which reminds me, I'm working on a project. I got the idea from a guy named Professor Joseph Wedel, who did something similar for the Washington, D.C. metro system many years ago. I have a talking compass, and the idea is to describe each of the metro stations in Vienna so that when you get out, you need to know which direction to go to get to another subway line or to a streetcar line or to an exit. You know, you get out of the streetcar, based on which direction you're going, you turn left or you turn right. But since you never know what direction somebody's coming from, I'm using the north, south, east, west coordinates. If anybody knows of a compass that is easily, you can just have with you all the time, easy to wear like on a watch or something like that, it'd really be nice, because my talking compass really eats up batteries. It's bulky. And I'm looking for just a really nice compass so that when we put this thing together, people will know. People have, you know, have ready access to their information. Something, if anybody has any ideas of good compasses that are small, be appreciated. So what do we have here?
Here are two cafes in the middle. There's Nürnwald in Lindenbasser. I don't see any prices. Should we just grab a seat?
Let's just grab a seat. just the one where it looks like waiters and waitresses are serving their customers, because sometimes I've had to wait out here at some of these cafes for a long time. Entschuldigung.
Okay, here's a little table for two here.
All right. Great. So, nice wicker chair.
We're right in the middle of the Kärntenstrasse right now.
It's a great place to be. I spent lots of time here. When I first came to, there was a time when I was incredibly homesick for the United States, so I would come here.
What would you like? I can tell you what they have.
Just the coffees. The coffee things would be.
Espresso 190, melange 290, cafe latte 320. That's about it. What
okay.
Would you like?
I'm going to have a cafe latte.
Okay, it's 320.
Yep.
The soda's like 140.
Okay. Great. Soda with lemon in it? Or just...
I could ask about the soda citron. Yeah. It just says soda.
Okay. Is that what you're going to have?
Yeah, just a soda citron.
All right. I'm really curious to see how these I just got these microphones. Were you with me the day I picked them up? That I opened? Yeah, my Al sent them. My friend Al Rando from the States sent these microphones. They're no name. We didn't find any name on the box or anything. So people have to let me know what they think of them. So ich krieg bitte einen einen Kaffee Latte bitte.
Mm-hmm. Soda Citron. Okay. And that's that.
She wasn't very. I was hoping to get her.
She's cleaning the table now.
Oh, okay. You know, the thing is, on Larry's show today, he was mentioning that. They're finally making some of the, or they're not finally, I don't want to use that word, but some of the iRiver things are becoming accessible. But the problem is not for this IFP 899 and not for any of the newer models.
They make what is becoming more accessible, the older models?
The H series, yeah, or something.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
The hard disks?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The problem is that they're not getting any cooperation from iRiver, so they're having to reverse engineer everything to even figure it out. So,
what a pain.
Yeah, they'll always be behind the times a little bit. One of the things that I wanted to do, and I was talking to somebody about this, is you're one of the you might be the only sighted person, at least you're the only sighted person. Why do you use technology made specifically for the blind, like the book port? I mean, what appeal does it have for a sighted person?
Because I can use it at any time. I can use it driving a car. I can use it jogging. I can use it at night in bed when the lights are out. I like it. It's 24-hour technology.
What do you think they would have to do to make it more appealing to a larger sighted community?
I have absolutely no idea.
Did you have a hard time getting used to the double talk speech? I mean, as a sighted person, people, when they talk speech output these days, they are, you know, the speech is really crystal clear and you can understand it the first time. Do you think that's an impediment to...
I think a product like this will only appeal to people who are technical geeks, actually. And I saw the Braille and the text-to-speech just as a chance to learn new things, which is always fun.
Okay. Well,
hobnob with you.
To hobnob with me.
Yeah. And I think the sound quality is fantastic for MP3s.
Yeah, it's one of the only really accessible talking MP3 players on the market, as is the Booker, the thing I use, the unit I use. So that's great. One of the things that I think people are going to enjoy is just hearing the ambient background noise with the German. I hope, anyway, you find it interesting. I wanted to talk to people a little bit about the Vienna Transit Authority. because they have asked blind people in this city to get involved so that we can make our needs known and find out what they can do to make the entire system more accessible. And there are some interesting movements underfoot of different projects that people are thinking about. For instance, if you have a mobile phone, for instance, they're looking at the idea of making it possible for you to dial a phone number, and the system would know what cell node you're calling from, and then it would send you an SMS and give you the information about when the tram was going to be coming, if there were the streetcar or the subway, whatever, and if there were any delays. So there are different approaches being looked at. Another one is, of course, you just call in. It knows the cell node that you're calling from, and then you, instead of getting an SMS, because not every blind person has an accessible phone, an automated computer would tell you if there were any delays, what lines you could switch to, when the next line was, or when the next subway was supposed to be coming your direction, and all of that. So, Danke vielmals. Kann ich gleich zahlen?
Mike, yes. Step away into a phone call.
Sure.
I promise him to call.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. 460, haben Sie gesagt?
460.
So, das sind 5, ja?
Mhm, genau.
Stimmt schon.
Dankeschön.
Bitte. And the Vienna City Authority just paid our bill. The Vienna City Transportation Authority has also asked blind people to become more involved in a lot of their decision-making for new changes to be implemented in the system. So while things don't change quickly here, one of the things that impresses me is that there's a willingness for people to work with us. The request is, there's a special department within the city of Vienna where they, where planners, city planners, especially people with public transportation, work with blind people. The city's pretty good about doing things such as putting in acoustic traffic lights wherever there is a need. And they won't do it at every light, of course, because they are very expensive. But if you really do have a need, if you travel a certain route to work every day and you need an acoustic traffic light there, they'll do it. And so, in Vienna, I think right now there are something like in the entire city there are, I think at last count, something like 135 acoustic traffic lights, and of course that number is growing. I kind of like that. I wish that traffic lights were acoustic traffic lights were ubiquitous, because I was the recipient of very good mobility, but I'm thinking to myself sometimes, and a lot of people would say, well, if your mobility skills are good enough, you'll have no problem with traffic lights. But there are some very, very difficult intersections out there, and I'm thinking to myself, why should I put myself at risk when other people, you know, have the luxury of not having to put themselves at risk? And I kind of like the assurance of knowing that the light is truly in my favor, especially on some of the wider streets where there are special turning lanes, left-hand turning lanes, and things like that that are very difficult to negotiate. I personally don't need acoustic lights at every crossing. If it's a straightforward light, I don't have a problem with it being the way it is, but I do enjoy a city that has so much of these. One of the things that is very interesting that the city of Vienna is looking at is a system that was developed in Prague, and I don't know if it was ever featured on Main Menu. If not, I'd like to perhaps go to any larger city in the Czech Republic, because it is a system where each person requiring the assistance is fitted with a very small device, which consists of 8 buttons. And I've used this system before, and each button has a specific purpose, and each button causes acoustic feedback. If you are in a train station and you want to know where the next escalator going up is, you press one button, and throughout the station, or the nearest escalators, the escalators that are nearest to you will start to beep, and so you can hear it. Or you know where the exits are. You press another button, and you can hear where the next exits are. Or another button will enable you to hear where the buses go, and another button activates acoustic traffic lights. Hey, great. And I'm not sure if this system was ever featured on Main Menu, but I've met the guy that developed it, and if there's interest, I would love to go back to the Czech Republic and demo that system. The European Blind Union has taken a serious look at this system, and we are trying to decide what can be done to make this system universal. The system works very well. Another button of these, you know, you press the, there are eight buttons. It broadcasts, I think, I was surprised, just above the CB band, the 28 megahertz. But another button causes, if you press it, it causes the bus that is stopping at where you need to get on to announce itself. So it has, you know, and these devices cost around 250 euros, so you can buy them. They're a little bit larger than a matchbox, and I did not find that the acoustic signals that you were given, the various tones that emanated from things, to be obtrusive, any more obtrusive than mobile phones. I don't know about, well, you're, this coffee's so hot, I couldn't even drink anything. There's no handle on this glass either. And it's typical Kärntnerstraße touristy coffee. It's not that good. No, it's not that good. The coffee houses have, I think, better coffee than the most of the places out here on the street. And for the price, I would have paid $2.60 for the same cafe latte at the coffee house right around the corner from where I live. So this was $3.60.
That's $3.60?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thanks for taking some of your time off in the afternoon here. I really appreciate this.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Finally, some good weather.
Oh, no. It's supposed to be good the rest of the week.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be good the rest of the week. I am so happy about those speakers, and the book career fits right into it. That is so cool. I'll just explain it. What it is basically, Peter says that some people have been talking about these speakers on the book port list, where you can use your book port or your book career, and it goes, fits into a CD case. Well, there's something very similar here in Vienna for just 12 euros. Peter told me about it today, and I already own a pair of these, or one of these external speakers. I like it. I'm excited. Runs on two batteries. You're going to use rechargeable batteries in yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to find... I gave away my super bulky, actually superannuated battery charger. I need to find a new battery charger which does a good job of recharging some of these higher-powered batteries. Got any ideas, any suggestions?
Consument did a comparison of all the different chargers recently.
Uh-huh.
I suggest you check that out.
You can't tell me? You don't remember?
There were like 20 different units.
Okay.
I used something called the Ansman charger, which is one of the top five units, but it was also more expensive than some other ones.
So. How many batteries can it charge at one time?
Four AA's,
and does it...
Or four AAA's.
Or, yeah, and does it recharge some of the really high-powered, you know, the
yes.
new... like 300 or 2,000 milliampere batteries?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any sort of like acoustic thing to let you know when it's recharged?
No.
No.
Just blinking lights.
Blinking lights. And, but if it's charged, the light stops blinking, right?
Yes.
So you could use one of those acoustic light detectors for it. Yes, that
I've
would work.
I've never heard of an acoustic light detector.
Okay. They're very popular among blind people who have no vision. If there's no light, it... It's a very low pitch tone, or no pitch tone, and if there's a strong light, it's like goes up and down with the light intensity, so that would work. Okay. Where can I get one? Like at Niedermeyer or something like that?
I bought mine at Technotronics.
Okay.
It's the Antman travel charger. It works in Europe and in the United States.
Okay. Because I don't, I hardly have any rechargeable batteries anymore, since most of my things take alkaline batteries. But I'm becoming alarmed that I'm using so many devices that use AA batteries, and like I've never had much luck with the Book Courier and rechargeable batteries. So, and now that I have this iRiver IFP 899, I'm using regular alkaline batteries with it also. Although it does have a an option for using rechargeable batteries.
Ah, everybody looks very relaxed today.
I feel relaxed.
Everybody's wearing t-shirts, carrying shopping bags. Half the people are carrying Apple iPods.
Ah.
It's very stylish.
With their iPod socks, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they ought to make socks for the Book Courier and the Book Port, huh?
What do you mean by socks?
You know those little socks that people are putting over their iPods, the little cloth socks?
I've not seen that.
You've not seen those before? I remember when I helped my neighbor Barbara get hers, the most important thing almost for her were the socks.
The socks.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. They just feel like little socks that you know, little knitted cloth socks. So, I don't know. It's a culture, it's a pop culture thing.
The iPod?
Yeah, the iPod. I mean, in terms, because for her, you know, she talks about how many songs she can store on it, but the way it looks is equally important to her. Here's a coffee machine, grinding some coffee, I guess.
It's, the machine is a La Cimbali. Italian name.
Uh-huh.
La Cimbali is the hardware.
Yeah, it didn't do much of a... I was hoping that we'd get the frothing of the milk, but we're too far away. You want to walk on, or you want to sit here for a bit?
I can walk on.
Okay.
I'm
gonna... you want these sugars? Keep
I'll
them?
Grab one.
Yeah, keep them both.
Yeah.
Yep. I usually save them, too, but we've got so many. Regina's been getting frustrated. That...
Okay, this one's open. I'll leave it.
Yes, okay. All right.
Okay, now we're at a pedestrian area again.
All right. We're about halfway through the Camp Neshnasa, or just a third of the way through? Probably just a third of the way through, wouldn't we be?
About halfway.
Halfway? Okay. How long would you say it is, the Camp Neshnasa? 200, 300 yards, maybe?
Oh, much longer.
Longer than that?
Yeah.
Okay. Used to be one of the main thoroughfares. And when I came to Vienna in 1976, they were just turning it into a pedestrian zone. There was construction everywhere.
It?
Yes, yes. Used to be cars would drive through here and everything, which is so hard to believe now. Because the only time that cars can go through here now is when they're, you know, delivering products to stores and things like that.
Which is generally in the morning.
Generally in the morning, before 9 o'clock, yep. There's so many... The American Express Bank is here, still on the...
Oh, there's a Burger King here, that's new.
Oh, that is new. Of course, Burger King has tried to make it in Vienna more than once, and they've gone belly up every time they've tried. This is the first time they tried was in 1984, and then they were here for about a year and a half, and then they faded out, and then again they were here again in 1990 to 92, and then they just disappeared, and now they're back again. What other sort of American establishment? They have a TGI Fridays in Vienna?
Subways.
Subway is very popular here. Well, not very popular, but reasonably.
Pizza Hut was here and failed. They had to close up.
Yeah, they were. They had a couple of stores or shops, restaurants. One was right in the underground area of the opera. I don't know where the other one was, but I was there. And then, of course, the one that seems to be doing very well, though, is Starbucks.
Should we check out the Burger King for a second?
Sure.
It's in Anagasse.
Anagasse, okay.
Next to the casino of Vienna.
Okay. Let's find out what they charge for and see what kind of German names they have for some of their main things here. I've never liked Burger King. Well, I guess this is, of course, I guess on a podcast you're allowed to say your own preferences. I've never really got into Burger King French fries. I thought that was always one of their weaknesses. Okay. We've just gone off onto a side street of the Kärntner Straße.
That's funny. A Whopper with large fries and a Coke is €5.35, which is what, about $7.50?
Yeah, the dollar is weak right now. Is that yeah, about $7.50?
$7.50.
Yep. One thing that would be different than the Burger Kings in the United States or Canada is, I'll bet they sell beer here, don't they?
Let's see. Yes, they sell beer and they have onion rings, which is interesting.
Huh. Don't have onion rings in the States?
Well, they do, but they don't have them anywhere in Vienna. This is the first place I've seen them in Vienna.
Oh, TGI Fridays had them. Oh, onion ring. Hey, well, so what's a beer cost here?
A beer costs €2.
For how much?
33
centiliters.
Like a can of Coke.
Okay.
12 ounces about.
Yeah, okay. So you don't have to worry. I get them. The drinking age in Vienna is 16.
Isn't coffee it? Is €1.20.
€1.20. I wonder how their coffee is. McDonald's coffee.
That's the next, is, the next podcast.
Is, right, exactly. There's a really good restaurant if you walk down to the end of the Anagasse and make a left. If you ever want to take your wife to a really nice Viennese place, it's called Müller Basel. I've gone there with lots of people. A very traditional Viennese restaurant. It's been there forever. Very good Viennese fare. So a little bit of free info, or if anybody on listening to this wants to come to Vienna as a tourist. Back on the Kärntner Straße, you might be able to hear. I really don't know how well these headphones work, or these microphones work. So this is pretty new to me too. There's a casino here along the Kärntner Straße, isn't there?
Yes, we just passed it.
Okay. Wonder, I've never gone to a casino in Austria, ever. I wonder how many there are. I know it's quite popular. It's a good casino, a very popular casino in Baden.
It's a monopoly. It's Casino Austria.
Oh, so it's a state, it's a monopoly.
It's a state-owned system.
Okay. So I wonder, have you ever been to one before, inside?
No.
I haven't either.
Starbucks on the corner, and across from the Starbucks is the Vienna State Opera, where they held all sort of operas and ballet performances, classical music concerts, things like that.
Yeah. You know, shame on me, after all these years of living in Vienna, I've never taken a tour of the Vienna State Opera. Have you?
Yes.
Starbucks, right across from it, very, you can hardly get more prominent.
It's very looking.
Yeah.
Always packed.
Hey, do they have wireless there? Because they don't. Oh, they don't? They do have wireless at some of the... No, they use T-Mobile hotspots in the States, don't they? I think they do, yeah. Sometimes, you know, I get to the States at least once a year, sometimes far more frequently, but I still feel at times, although a little bit out of touch, it'd be fun to live back in the United States again for a while, just to see what life as an adult would be like. Living here. I haven't done it. I haven't really lived in the United States for any period of time since I was 24 years old. So this is a light that's really difficult to tell if it's green or red. Yeah. This light. But fortunately at this light there are always people here. So you, almost always.
Our next stop is the
streetcar. Is the J streetcar, yes.
Or the trolley, as they say in Boston.
Oh, the trolley. Okay. Technically, we've left the Kärntner Straße now, haven't we? Since there's.
I'm not sure.
I don't think. We've pedestrian. Yeah, for sure, the pedestrian area. I don't think it's called Kärntner Straße here, though. Somebody just walked by wearing the same cologne that I like to wear sometimes.
Okay. She was very attractive.
Oh, she. Come on, get out of here. It was, the cologne I smell was definitely a man's cologne. Yeah. Now, I'm not sure at the streetcar stops if you can, if there are there signs that tell you when the next streetcars are coming or not?
No,
they don't have those yet. Huh. Walking back into the sunshine, oh, it's a wonderful feeling.
Do you
want to go under the ground? Or wait, let's go underground. That would get a little bit of acoustic ambience here. Now we're going back down into the underground passage here at the opera, where there are lots of stores, a restaurant. Or a restaurant.
Lots of
what?
Lots of different restaurants.
Yeah. Well, they're fast food, all of them, aren't they? Down here?
Basically, yeah. There's a bread store, pizza places, Japanese sushi.
Sort of like an American food court, wouldn't you say, or not? Is it similar to that?
Except that there's no seating, basically. You eat all your pizzas while standing.
Okay. We're going back up another escalator now. We could have... That's what I like about this area. You can cross the most difficult intersections by going down and coming back up through the passage. Okay.
Do you want to get on near the front, near the driver?
I want to get on near the driver because it's cool to hear the gears shifting when he shifts the gears and things like that. I'm not sure if they're gears. I'm not that technical, but you know what I mean. Sometimes you have to wait. A lot of different streetcars go from this area. This is called... This is. We're going to be traversing the ring, which goes around the inner part of the city. And most of... And then major streets jut out from the ring to go into the various districts of Vienna. We're in the first district right now. And Vienna used to consist only of this area, which is now the first district. There used to be a wall that went around the city. The wall came down in the late 1800s, and then the Ring Street was formed. What was it? Was it 1848, wasn't it? Peter, it was 1848 is when the wall came down. So. It's a very busy...
It's okay once you get on, just head home?
Yeah, you can just head on home, yeah. Unless you have other morsels of information to give our listeners. Like, tell them to read your FAQ on the Bookport list, right?
Yes.
Did you write that by yourself, or have other people contributed to it, too?
Oh, I just copy and pasted contributions that have been made to the Bookport list.
Oh, okay.
It's just more, it's more a compilation of what's already been written.
Okay.
That's from the gas company, emergency.
Oh,
van.
Okay.
Here comes the J-Wagen. It's a special low train.
Oh, the new ones. Okay, cool. All right. I'm going to get on in front then.
You can tell them about the low trains.
Oh, I will. I'll do that on the way home. Yeah, I want to get a seat. But I think there'll be it's just at the beginning of it, so. Okay, Peter, we'll see you later then, okay?
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Well, here we are in the streetcar. This is one of the newer streetcars in Vienna. And this streetcar is different than most. It's one of the few lines that has it. Although they'll be implemented everywhere. This streetcar, the way it's designed, you barely have to step up to get into it. So people can get their strollers into it a lot easier. And elderly people can get in and out of it easier. Or anybody with any sort of movement disability. Sometimes I find myself struggling for the words in English. The thing that's really nice is with the old streetcars, you had to take three large steps to get out of it or into it, and it was really hard on people's, it still is hard on your knees. If you have any knee problems or leg problems, it's difficult to get in and out of the streetcars. But with this new one, you're practically right at street level when you get out. So now we're traversing the ring, the street that goes around the center of Vienna. And again, there are several different ways that I could get home from the center of the city. One of the things that I really like about this system, and one of the things that's always appealed to me, is there's more than one way. So the guy doesn't have the system up that loud, but you can still hear the stops. But there's more than one way to get from point A to point B. And as is the case with many European cities, you don't really have to follow a schedule that much. The streetcars come, even this J line, it comes like usually as a rule once every 7 to 8 minutes. And it's not one of the more frequented lines, it's just your average streetcar line, you know. And the other thing that I find appealing here is the way the taxi system works. If you are blind in Austria, you can take taxis as a tax write-off. And usually when you call a taxi, unless something extraordinarily bad has gone wrong, you'll get a taxi within 6 to 7 minutes at the outset, at the most. Usually you wait 2 to 3 minutes, so when you call, you're usually put on hold for a maximum of 30 seconds or so, and then, you know, they just, if you have caller ID and you're registered with the taxi company, you don't even need to give them your address. They just say, what do you need, ask you what you need, and they say, yeah, I need, you know, they'll just say, we'll see the taxi, and it'll be there in 2 to 3 minutes. The way the system works, it's computerized, and when you sit in the taxis, you never hear a taxi dispatcher. Everything's done via computer, and so the driver just gets a digital, you know, a message on his, you know, digital display, and the system keeps track of where the drivers are, so that the driver that's closest to where you are is given the commission, so you can get a taxi. You know, pretty quickly in Vienna, it's quite nice, and there are several different companies that compete, and so I found that through the years between taking taxis and streetcars, and just my wife renting a car on the odd occasion, we've done very well in this city. My wife is sighted, has a driver's license, and still prefers public transportation. One of the things that's fun, though, here is there is a, we belong to a system which is a car sharing system, and they position large, they park their cars at large underground garages near streetcar stops. And so what you can do is you can rent a car. If you're a member of the system, we've been with the system for 11 years now. We can rent cars by the hour. And so if we need to do some shopping or just like take a quick excursion someplace or just have a nice long excursion for one day, we can rent cars by the hour. You pay by the hour and the number of kilometers you go. So it's really quite nice in terms of transportation. Like I said before, of course we get raked. Das ist die Station nach der Station, wo ich aussteige.
Danke, das
ist genau. Das ist zuerst kommt die Lederergasse, wo ich aussteige, und dann steigen Sie bei der nächsten aus. This elderly lady wants to know where to get off. So just give her some advice. She's very, very grateful to a young man who gave her his seat. I was talking about the transportation here. So there are lots of options, and of course, if people are interested, maybe when I go to the Czech Republic, when I need to go back and look at the system again that I mentioned earlier, that was developed by a man named Viktor Duder, D-U-D-R, the system where you use radio-activated sound buoys, if you will, to orient yourself. If anybody would be interested in a demonstration, I really want to go back to Prague for some, take care of some things. I'd love to give people the demonstration, unless it was already demoed someplace else. I don't want to do something that somebody else has done. But I've always been intrigued by the system, and I've been sort of surprised that it's not caught on in other places. So just people let me know, or let Larry know. I will be doing my own podcasts where they're not necessarily blind, cool, tech-related. That's why I decided to put this one here. But I'm going to be doing podcasts of my own where I interview interesting people here in Vienna, in English and in German, expatriates, American expatriates who do things here. And once I get all that up and running, it'll be a few months. I've been diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, and so I tire very easily and haven't been able to work as much as I'd like. It's been tough. But that's what I want to do, and once I have enough energy, I want to get that up and running. So I'd love to have you all subscribe to that if you'd be interested. I have to get out now, so... be finishing this podcast very soon. If anybody has any ideas about other types of things I can do, types of podcasts I can do from here in Europe, if they're blind, cool, tech related, or if anybody has any ideas for me for you know, for other podcasts that would be of interest, so Sie steigen dann bei der nächsten aus, ja? Nein, das geht schon. Ich muss nur zur Tür und. So, auf Wiedersehen. Just told that lady that she had to get off at the next stop. So, here we are back at along the Josefstädter Straße, the street where I get off, and I just have to walk home from here. So, but like I said, thanks for joining me on this trip. If anybody has any ideas or any questions, I've given you the contact information, and I will just stop now. I'm just walking home now. So I will conclude this podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and hope you all have a great day. Bye for now. Bye from Vienna.